in the sermon today. We will be in Matthew chapter 24. We're going to be looking at verses 36 to 44 today. And so let me begin by giving you a picture. I want you to picture a classroom. I don't know, high school, whatever, classroom. And there's a class, and they're doing their work, and they're all sitting at their desks doing whatever. And the teacher gets called out of the classroom for something. The teacher goes down the hall, and there's no teacher in the classroom now. And you can kind of imagine the kids change, because there's no teacher in the room, and they're now, a bunch of them are out of their seats, they're talking, they're laughing, they're joking, they're playing around. And this is just kind of what happens when the teacher leaves the classroom. And somebody in the room sticks his head out the door and looks down the hall and sees that the teacher is coming back. And says, "Hey, here she comes." And when everyone finds that out, what happens?
They behave.
That's right. They all go back to their seats. And when the teacher comes into the classroom, everybody's at their seats and they're quiet and they're working on whatever it is that they were supposed to be working on. And they're just wonderful. But it's really all a show for the teacher. I'll say this in defense of teachers, however. They generally know this goes on. They're not dumb. And so it's not like the class is fooling her. She's aware. We do this all the time. When I was a kid, my brother and I, we used to play this game in the house called Nerf Baseball. We played it in the living room. And it was a great game. Oh, man, I loved that game. But you would take a Nerf ball. I don't know if you know what a Nerf ball is. It's a little foam ball, size of a softball. And you could hold it in your hand, kind of like this. And it's very light. You can throw some really nasty curves with it. Put a little spin on it, and that ball just does some nice curves. Anyway, so we would have a Nerf ball, and then we would take a towel. And you take a towel and you kind of twist it like this and fold it in half, and it becomes a bat. And you can swing that towel and hit the Nerf ball, and we'd have a pitcher who'd throw the ball and a batter who'd hit the ball, and we had rules, you know. If you could hit the ball from one end of the living room and you could hit the wall on the other end of the living room in the air, that's a home run. If you could reach the wall, it's rolling or bouncing and hits the wall at the other end, that's a double. And we had a little section over in the corner there. If you could get that corner, that's a triple. And we had all these rules made up, basically. And one out per inning. So if you hit the ball in the air and the pitcher caught it, you're out. We switch sides. And so we'd be playing this game, my brother and I would, in the living room. And then we'd hear the car pull up in the driveway and look out the window and see, oh, it's Mom. Mm. Quick, put the towel up. Throw the ball in our bedroom. And we'd grab a book and we'd be doing our homework when she walked in. See, there's what we were really doing, and there's what we showed her we were doing. Right. And they weren't the same things. Do you ever do this kind of thing?
Never.
Nah, not you. Nah, my wife would never do such things as this. Except, you know, you have. So, I want to bring this to Jesus now. You ever hear people say, "Oh, Jesus, yeah, I got time. I'll deal with God later. But right now, I just want to live my life." Whatever that life is, you know, I want to travel. I want to design websites right now. I want to get married and have a family. That's my focus. I'm not focused on Jesus. I want, you know, I want to enjoy the music scene if you're into music. Jesus, and he sort of gets in the way right now. But I got time, I got time. I can deal with that later. See, we see Jesus like we see that teacher or like we see mom who's away. Right now, let's play. Let's do what we want. We can get things straight later. You know, we can stick our head out and see when he's coming, and then we can straighten up just in time. Let me ask you a question. You think you can get things straight later. How do you know that? I'm serious about that. How do you know that you have time? How do you know you can get things straight later? If you actually know that, you must be God. Because really, God's the only one that knows that. See, on the planet I live on, I don't know that I have tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Now, there are two ways in which you don't even have tomorrow. The first way is death. And the second way is Jesus returns. Sometimes we just think of the death piece, and forget that Jesus can come whenever. Now, in Matthew 24, we've been talking about the Jesus returning piece. And that's what this whole chapter is about. And so let's go to the verses we're going to look at today, starting in verse 36. I'm just going to read from verse 36 to verse 44. This is Matthew chapter 24. Jesus says this, "But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Okay, guys, you do not know when Jesus will return. Look at verse 36. Just look at that verse, verse 36. Concerning that day and hour, no one knows. The angels don't know. Jesus himself says he didn't know at that time. Now, it means you don't know. And if you don't know, you shouldn't be listening to people who say they know. We've talked in the past about kind of some of those whacked out people who tell you that the end of the world's going to come on December 14th, 2024, and they'll give you the date, or whatever date, you know, I just made that date up. And whenever you hear those people, you are hearing a false prophet. And how do you know they're false prophets? Because they actually gave you when Jesus is coming, and Jesus himself said, no one knows. And so they actually claim to know something Jesus said he didn't know. And so you have to decide, do you believe them or do you believe Jesus? Because if you believe Jesus, you can't believe them. Just whenever you hear that, just don't go for that nonsense. That is just nonsense. That kind of talk. And so Jesus is coming, yes. You need to know that. He is going to return. But no one knows when. This means you have to be okay not knowing when. I mean, is that okay? Do you have to know? Some people have to know everything. You know, you've met those kind of people. They just got to know, right? And they're not okay not knowing when. They need to know when. Well, if you're going to trust God, there are things you have to be okay not knowing. Can you just trust God with this? Listen, I understand. We talked earlier about this world and how messed up it was when I was talking about Psalm 74 earlier in the service. Earth is broken. You know, babies are born addicted to crack. Countries go to war because men want power. Men are raping women, and sometimes they seem to get away with it. There are people in power who are oppressing those who are not in power. There's injustice everywhere you look. Earth is full of greed and selfishness and lust and anger and bitterness and injustice and sin. It's all over this earth. But one of the things Scripture teaches is that when Jesus comes, he will make right this earth. And you want that right now. I get it. I'd like it right now too. And you'd like to know when. When is it going to happen, Lord? When are you going to come and fix this messed up world? Maybe you cry out with David, how long, O Lord? You know, in some of the Psalms, David cries that phrase because he's looking around and seeing what we see today. And he's saying, how long are you going to let this go on, O Lord? And you want to know when, how long? But let me tell you something, you don't know when. And you got to be okay with that. You only know that it will happen. And so, can you trust God that he will come and make right all that is wrong on earth? Whatever it is you personally go through, whatever it is that you see, can you trust him that he will make it right? Even if you don't know when, even if maybe you don't see it in your lifetime, maybe it comes after you die, can you trust him? Now, it would actually be bad for us to know when Jesus is coming. And do you know why it would be bad for us? Because of this. When the students know when the teacher is coming, they go wild until it gets close to the time when they know she's coming. Because when the brothers can tell when mom is coming home, they act out until she's near. And then they change. But the change is phony. It's not real. When Jesus comes, there will be none of that. No one is ever going to be able to say, hey, quick, Jesus is coming tomorrow. Let's do a day of prayer and fasting. How about that? So that when he comes, we'll be praying. And then he'll get to see us doing this. Do you know what people are going to be doing when Jesus returns? they're just going to be living their lives. Mm-hmm. Normal life. And they're going to be really surprised when he comes. He's going to surprise people. He's going to be like, people are in the house doing whatever, and, you know, there's a knock on the door and they open it up. Hey, police, come, you know, like that. It's like, you know, the police raiding the drug dealers kind of thing. Yeah, they had no idea that was coming. Jesus says, verse 37, "For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." He says it's going to be like the days of Noah. And in Noah's day, he says in verse 38, "For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark." And so people are just living their lives. That's really all that verse is saying. In Noah's day, before the flood came, people were just living their lives. And then the flood came. In verse 39, it says, "And they were unaware." They were unaware. And the flood came and swept them all away. It was like surprise. And then he says, "So will be the coming of the Son of Man." And so when Jesus comes, people are just going to be living normal life. Eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. Two men will be working in the fields. One will be taken, one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, one will be left. The being taken is being gathered up to Jesus, which is what he was talking about earlier. This is just life. That's all this is. When Jesus comes, life's going to be just going on like normal. And it's going to take everyone by surprise. About the last thing on people's minds, when Jesus comes, about the last thing on their minds will be, you know, I think Jesus is returning today. They're not going to be thinking about that. Here's what people are going to be thinking about. They're going to be thinking about their trip to Denver. They're going to be thinking about Maggie editing maps. They're going to be thinking about coding software. And then here's Jesus while we're coding software. They're going to be thinking about paying tuition. They're going to be thinking about taking a test that day that they've got in one of their classes. They're going to be thinking about plowing a field or grinding flour at the mill. They're going to be thinking about planning a wedding, cooking dinner, feeding a baby. All this and more will be going on when Jesus returns. And there's going to be none of this. Hey, quick, Jesus is coming. Let's straighten up our lives now. That's not going to happen. When Jesus comes, he's going to get the real you. And let me tell you something about that. When he comes, you're not going to want to be doing something that displeases him. You're not going to want to be looking at porn or backbiting against your sister or whatever. I'm not saying there's no grace, but still, it isn't going to look real good. And you're not going to like it if your Lord, you know, the one who is your master, the one who you say you have given your life to, returns and he finds you wasting your life on whatever, video games, getting drunk, binging on Netflix, or I don't know. I mean, imagine the picture. Here's your Lord. He shows up and you've given your life to Game of Thrones or whatever your dream is. But it's you. You've given your life to you. And here's your Lord, and you've just discovered you've been wasting your life. And it's just not going to be real pretty. You're not going to like that. Jesus is coming, and you do not know when. And he's going to surprise you when he comes. Therefore, look at verse 42. What's the first word in verse 42?
Therefore.
Therefore. Stay awake. And look at verse 44. What's the first word in verse 44?
Therefore.
Be ready. That's the idea. That's the flow of what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is saying, why be ready? You don't know when. And you're, verse 42, why stay awake? You don't know when he's coming. Why be ready? Verse 44, you will not be expecting it. Jesus is telling you, you do not know when, and you will be surprised. Therefore, be ready. Now. It's like, I was in the military. In the military, we talk about, there's this word in the military, readiness. And in the military, readiness is a huge word. Because you have to be ready at all times for anything that could happen. And so my unit had to be ready to deploy and go. My unit was in Hawaii, so we would go in the Pacific area if something happened in anywhere in the Pacific area. But we had to be ready to go on a moment's notice. Now, did we ever have to go when I was there? No, we actually didn't. But we had to be ready the whole time. It's like that. And so instead of saying, well, I got time, I can straighten my life out later, I can deal with God later, I got other more important things to do now. That, I'll tell you what, that's not being ready. That's putting it off. I mean, imagine if the military did that. Oh, we got time before anything happens. We can deal with all that stuff later. That's just, you see how ridiculous it is. Okay, well, that's what lots of people do. Instead of that, living that way and not being ready, try repenting. Try following Jesus now. And living for him now. And being ready now. Because you don't know when he's coming. And when he does, you're going to be really, really surprised. Now, I told you that there are two ways that you don't know you have tomorrow, death and Jesus' return. And it's just like death in this respect. Being ready, you're being ready for death if it were to happen. You're also being ready for his return. If you died today, are you ready? Are you ready to meet God? If you are, then I will tell you this. You are also ready for him to come. Now, your death is not that far off. I mean, let's just be generous and say you've got 80 more years. If you live another 80 years, understand that 80 years is a millisecond in eternity. And so from an eternal perspective, you got about a millisecond left of your life. From your perspective, you say, I got 80 years. But you don't really know that you got 80 years. But here's the thing. The second coming, Jesus' return, actually could happen before you die. So it's not just that you have to be ready for your death. You have to be ready even if you don't die and Jesus comes tomorrow. Now, hear me. I'm not saying he will come tomorrow. I'm not saying he'll come in our lifetime. I don't know when he's going to come. But I am saying that you need to be ready for tomorrow. Because that's what Jesus is saying. Guys, don't play games. Don't play around with Jesus. Don't play around with this. You're playing with fire. You're playing with eternity when you play around with this. And you and I, we don't have as much time as we think we do. Now, part of this being ready, we are going to talk more about this in the coming verses, because starting in verse 45, I'm going all the way through the end of chapter 25, Jesus is going to tell parables about being ready and watching. And so we're going to deal with that more in detail as we go through those parables. But part of being ready is to embrace the cross. That's the center of Christianity. Jesus came and he died for your sin. And he then tells you to take up your cross and die to yourself for his sake. And so he gave his life for you. He now wants you to give your life to him. And this happens at the cross. The cross is central to being right with God and to being ready for Jesus to come. It's central. It's why he wants us to remember it. Now, we're going to celebrate communion to do that, to remember the cross. And before we get into the, actual participation of the communion, we're going to do a song.